in the gym, Jim can start taking on those 50s and 30s and 40s. And then does it half return? He owns them. He owns them.
Good morning.
Morning, Curtis. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're all good.
Okay, the Quint group is good. Okay. Fantastic. Okay. Well, are we ready to get started? I got my record button on.
We're ready.
Ready to roll.
Okay. So, let's start the call with any of your concerns, questions regarding the materials that have been covered so far. We'll do a brief review and get right into our agenda.
Chris, so, how are you?
I'm good, Dan.
I have some general backdrop concerns, questions.
Okay.
We can work through down the road. A lot of superstar from a marketing / acquisition perspective is an investment of time.
Yep.
And some of these trees are going to take time to grow.
Oh, for sure.
And are harvestable.
Yes.
One of the things we were just talking about prior to getting on the call was that properly placing some of these acquisition models within a small firm. And I see that from the perspective of I'm 60. I'm not going to be on 5 boards for the next 35 years.
Right.
You know, so where is that best leverage, best bang for the buck? I have a lot of contacts. I know a lot of people, but I have, for the most part, kept my business quiet, compact, and in a niche. And that niche is now providing the second level of concern, which is the niche does generate referrals, many of those referrals retiring in 3 to 7 years.
Yeah.
So as I'm trying to advocate here, those are no longer my prospects.
Right.
So someone retiring in 5 years is probably not going to be my client. So that's my general, you know, what's the best focus for me?
Okay. So let me address a couple of things. I wrote down boards and I wrote down niche markets. Here's one of the things that I kind of understand about, you know, retirees. I worked in Florida for over 4 years. And the part of Florida I worked in was St. Petersburg. And 60 Minutes coined the phrase, God's waiting room. Okay? And on the one hand, we're thinking that, you know, these are old folks. They used to say that their teenagers lived on the eastern part of the state. So what I'm saying is that the opportunities to manage money for retirees, those that are about to retire, those that are in retirement, and those that are creating legacies, really exist. We had a 56% market share when I was down there, and that was unheard of. So what I'm saying is the opportunity and the business can be fairly significant as these people start to, you know, wind down the expense part of their lives and start looking at legacy planning and the retirement issues and really managing their portfolios. So, you know, so retirees may very well become one of your niche markets that you focus on. That's a decision that you have to make. Because let me tell you, the folks in Boston, they take I-95 all the way down to the eastern part of Florida, and parts in between. So I think that so there's an opportunity there, okay, to kind of create a niche there. Now, one of the things that we pointed out last time is on all these methodologies, you probably want to get good at 3, maybe 4, okay? That's it. There are people that exclusively work the VIPSUP model that bring in all the business that they need to bring in. So when we go back and review, are you with me so far on that, Dan?
I am, yes.
Okay. So when we look at the pipeline back in Section 19, there were 5 resources for growth identified. And it says, well, look, if you get referred from your existing clients, and they just give you 6 introductions a year, you're working it really well, that's 600 potential prospects. Now, the team probably can't manage through 600 prospects. So I'm saying, okay, let's break that down. Let's just go with 40 people that give you 4 introductions per year. That's 160 prospects right there. The COIs, 12 introductions per year. That's maybe 2 or 3 per team member. Okay?
I would say 70 clients giving me 1.
Right. And what you're trying to do is get about 35 households. So you're going to have personal introductions and prospects coming out of your ears, and you also have like a 90% close rate when you're face-to-face with someone. So just with your existing clients and the COIs, they're going to give you plenty of names. The niche markets are more about where you're concentrating your business development activities, okay? Some of them might be retirees. Some of them might be that whole tech quarter that's developing in Boston. Some might be in the financial services arena as part of the demographics. So think about that. The mastermind group is like your informal board. It's your mutual support society, okay, where everybody is working for the good of each other in terms of helping further build their practices. And so you should have a lawyer in that mastermind group. You should have a CPA in that mastermind group. Someone who's dealing with commercial real estate that knows who's moving in, who's moving out, because that's a source of retirement, planning, so on and so forth. So it's about what kind of niche markets that you are establishing for your 4-member, mastermind group. Now the boards, I definitely don't recommend that you necessarily serve on a board, because there's always the inherent conflict that you're on the board, you can't manage money for them. So that creates a little bit of conflict. But if you're serving on an affluent board that has affluent board members, then the opportunity to sit down and do business with board members exists. So that's where the serving on the nonprofit boards take place.
Okay. Yeah. The thing that you're going to work with, he's on probably a dozen different boards.
Okay.
I'm going to discuss some of those.
Okay. So now you are starting to maybe think about philanthropic services being part of your overall business development activity. So, yeah, I will tell you, and I probably told you this before, you know, for some reason down in Florida, everybody wanted me to be on a board, being the manager of the local office. So I was on the board of the All Children's Hospital. I was on the board of St. Pete Progress, which was attracting business to the downtown community. I was in the Chamber of Commerce, so I had lots of connections there. And I basically brought those connections to the FAs in the office as a manager. I was on the board of kind of one of the prep schools down there in St. Pete. And so that put me around a lot of affluent people who always wanted to find out what I did, had questions, wanted to be introduced to somebody that could help them. And then I was on the board of a large civic organization that was primarily focused on civic pride. And so they had all these influential people. So, but St. Petersburg is not Boston, so you have to carve out kind of geography inside Boston because it's a large city. But San Francisco Bay Area is like only 49 square miles, and they are very nonprofit oriented. So guess who is a part of all these nonprofit organizations? Women. Women control over $11.2 trillion in assets. And so looking at that demographic to develop business becomes more critical. So those are sources for growth. Okay? Any questions on that?
No. What about tying some of these prospecting tools into wealth management educational events? I have a friend down in Carolina who does a monthly 3 to 4 hour Saturday morning event covering 5 years of wealth management. And he is consistently one of the top producers because he, by the end of 3.5 hours, he says, they know me pretty well, I know them pretty well. And if he has 14 households, he gets 13 appointments and he gets 8 clients. And it's
right.
Literally every month. It's him and he's got 5 people on staff and they do all the service and set up all the events. And he does the appointments and the closings, and it's just a consistent, and every referral he gets, they just go to these same workshops. And clients will attend and bring people to these 3.5. They're not 8 hours because that's too long. They're not at night. That's too difficult.
Right.
It's just Saturday morning for a few hours. Do you know if any people have had success with that?
You know, there was this woman in Texas down in in that Dallas area. Her name was Dodie Frost, and she started off doing that by creating this mastermind group. Little different, but she created a cadre of professionals that could refer people to her. So her mastermind group got to be about 24 people. She met on a Saturday and was getting 7 to 8 personal introductions per week. Now that's another angle to look at it. But I see nothing wrong with doing the seminars. I like the personal introductions, which is a quicker pathway than cranking up time, effort, and energy around a seminar. So you have to decide what are the three things or four that you really want to get good at. I think the personal introductions process has got to be a part of that, because that leads to extracting from your clients. I think you've got to work the centers of influence and determine, you know, who's the COI and who can be on your mastermind group. And then if you wanted to run educational sessions, you've got to get to, because folks will come, they will get your information, and then they will go and implement it elsewhere. So you have to have a means of getting those relationships and one-on-one meetings with folks after you provide the levels of education. And you've got to get the right people in those meetings. Your very affluent people, depending upon the environment that you're in, may struggle coming to a Saturday morning meeting.
Right.
Okay. Now, down in Florida, you could get as many people as you wanted in a seminar during lunch. Okay? But after 4, no way. Because they were off to those, what do you call those little dinners, buffets. They were off to their buffets in the afternoon. So, you know, you just have to play it by ear. But you have a lot of tools in your toolkit now to work with. So I'm not going to say that it won't work, but I would say start pulling off your mastermind group. And if your mastermind group wants to start doing educational seminars for the public, then you do them with your lawyer, your CPA, and yourself, and you have them present, and each of them takes a little, you know, piece of the seminar, because you're not going to speak for 3 hours. So I think it could be worked that way very effectively.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So one of the things that I did want to do is just kind of review that pipeline. And so we did that in this conversation. And in week 10, there's a lot of discussion on implementing the introductions process. And we talk about the VIPSA strategy. You had a early preview of that VIPSA model. So at this point, what I want to do is, you know, if we need to kind of review it, I'll certainly review it with you by way of reminder. But did you have any broad-based questions on that model?
Anybody?
No.
On the VIPSA acquisition strategy?
No, my only concern is remembering to do it.
Yeah, it's putting down when you have your outline for your next meeting or review, maybe one of the words you want to put down on your agenda is brainstorm. Because in VIPSA, you know, you're saying, hey, what do you value? You want, you're asking permission to brainstorm for a minute. And that leads you into that conversation. Could you imagine if you had 4 or 5 conversations like that a week, and all you got was 1 or 2 names from each prospect? You know, you're on your way. So the question about the, and if you're working Supernova in the way that you should be working it, and you have that script that sets you up for it, the question is, do you deserve referrals? And using the Supernova process raises or elevates your ability to get referrals. Have you earned them? Well, you're giving client agendas, you're verifying the appointments, you're sending out executive summaries, you're providing an educational topic. So now you have earned referrals. And do you have a process to receive them? Okay. So you don't want to keep a whole bunch of people in a CRM that you're not going to follow up on. What you want is for those folks to try to set up a personal meeting within a week to 3 weeks with these individuals. And now you've freed up the time on your schedule to be able to have those meetings. Okay? So, to review, the V stands for value. So you're asking the client, what do you value in the service that we've been providing? I'd like to get your input. What's important to you? What you're doing when you ask that question is you're gaining valuable market intelligence. You know, here you are thinking that they valued your portfolio management skills, asset allocation skills, and you come to find out that they really value the intimate relationship that they have with you. A concerned individual that cares about them. Okay, so you need to find out what that is. The I stands for important, just by way of review. You're trying to determine what's important to the client. You know, is it retirement? Is it leaving a legacy, you know, for children? Is it, you know, trying to move toward that vacation home, change of lifestyle? Find out what's important. And then the P is for permission. So with your permission, I'd like to brainstorm, you know, who in your network of colleagues, associates, friends, and professionals might want to sit down and find out about the concierge service that we deliver to affluent clients such as yourself. So with your permission, the S is, how would you suggest I meet with him or her? How would you suggest we go about this? And then you're going to chime in and basically say, talk about the personal meeting and them making the handoff. You don't want a business card. You don't want a phone number. Go call this guy. You want to be personally introduced. And then the A is advice. So asking for advice makes people feel good, makes them feel valued, okay? So ask them for their advice about how they would go about communicating with John Jones, who's a lawyer, or Mary Smith, who's a builder. How would you go about it? So that's your referral model. That's one area that you have to really, really get down, practice it, and get really, really good at it. Because you can elevate yourself to 4 to 5 potential relationship meetings a week. And remember, our goal is really 3 net new households. So you can really, really get this thing levered up. All right. So that's the VIPSA model. Go back and look at the script and put it in your own words and have your story down and complete. The other, so I'm going to leave that. Any questions on that VIPSA model strategy, acquisition strategy?
Not for me.
No.
Okay. Now, I have sent you a matrix, which is basically a template for you to keep track of your acquisition methods. So try to get 3 of them down. You know, if you can get someone that wants to join the mastermind group, we'll understand and listen to your supernova, you know, strategy and philosophy, and you can end up getting 4 people, including yourself, then that would be kind of a layup for you and your team. Okay, community involvement. You know, this is kind of a mixed bag of sorts, but can lead to some potential business. I'm starting to get like, and I can't do them all, but I got contacted by LinkedIn the other day, and I've got like 1,000 relationships on LinkedIn, and they asked if I would participate in a mentoring program on July 30th. And so I looked at it and I said, well, why not? And it was prefaced by, hey, giving something back. So I'm sure that when I go, it's all about the kids, but I'm going to probably network. I'm probably going to meet a lot of folks. And my angle is I'm the chairman of a foundation that I created that provides scholarships. And maybe, and I know Taco Bell is one of the big sponsors of this thing. So I'm going to see if I can network and get some play for the foundation. That's my only kind of reason. And then, of course, there's the kid reason, which I helped to create a financial literacy program, you know, for them. So if you are interested in that kind of PR that elevates your stature in the community, you might do something with young people doing a financial literacy program. It's a lot of fun. You might get some parents involved and get some business, but you'll certainly get some PR out of it. And then what we do at the end of, and Visa International already has the turnkey program. So you don't have to do anything except read the materials, get familiar with them, instruct them. And at the end, we gave each of the kids a certificate. So think about your community involvement and, you know, when you want to try to launch something. So you've got arts organizations, you've got charitable, you know, you've got these boards, you know, what are your favorite causes? What are you passionate about? Ask your best clients for their advice about community involvement, what charitable organizations they may serve on. And by the time you keep having your monthly calls, you're probably going to get a list of 10, 15 or more of some of these things they serve on. Okay. So now all of a sudden, you're getting some market intelligence, some referrals from your existing clients. It's that easy. So you're going to be asking your best clients for their advice. Ask for introductions by one of your clients. Okay? And keep in mind, these are things that are important to cities, communities, and the leaders. Okay? They're all stretched for money. So you have to be careful because they want your time and often they want your money. So you have to be very, very careful. And I suggest no more than two. Okay, they can be churches, they can be alma maters, they can be golf clubs, they can be economic development boards, you know, where the community leaders are. And many CPAs and lawyers are also on these boards. You know, there was a young lady by the name of Lisa Smith. She served 7 years on a board. 30 to 40% of her clients come from that type of social networking strategy. Okay? There's a guy in Indianapolis, Rich Searles. You know, he started developing major relationships with Indiana University. So, you know, what's most important is that you elevate your brand via your community involvement. You update your website. You know, you talk about some of your social action commitments that you make. And I won't really get into LinkedIn until maybe there's a time when we can get into it because your firm doesn't allow it. But I've got 3 pages of tight notes on how to use LinkedIn, which aren't part of the manual, that I'd love to share with you at the most appropriate time. Okay. That to me is looking at how you might penetrate your existing network to derive opportunity. There may be people who don't have the money, but they got the connections. And that's what you have to find out. Okay. All right. So we talked about VIPSA, we talked about charity, arts, and we talked about looking at the social connection for what you do in terms of providing acquisition, client acquisition. So back to our original question, do you deserve referrals? Yes. Have you earned referrals? Yes. Do you have a process to receive them? Okay, which every prospect gets a folder, gets them, put it in your scheduler for follow-up and contact. Let me stop and see if some of your other colleagues have questions about anything that we've covered so far today.
I don't really know.
Okay, does this make sense? Do you see yourself beginning to implement some of this? Because that's where the growth is going to occur.
It's Tammy. Hi, how are you?
Hey, Tammy. How are you? You're on vacation this week.
I'm good. I understand everything you said, so.
Okay.
Nope.
Do you have a question about anything that we've covered?
No.
Okay. So, to reemphasize where we left off last week, we Dan did the mini executive summary that I sent out to you. Was that helpful?
It was.
Okay.
What we're doing is similar to that, just a brief email. We have all of our clients have a financial wealth guide, which is their folder.
Okay.
We have a summary page on that for the 5 years management. So we tell them we've updated each section, and to read through that and to obviously get back with us with any. And for a couple of them that have a more in-depth change, like one gentleman came in and told me was diagnosed with emphysema. He doesn't know how long he's got, 5 to 7 years. I'm going to, before we email that summary out, I'll just give him a call.
Okay.
He's more concerned about spending some money now to get leaving enough for his wife.
Right.
So I think that warrants a phone call to walk through it with him, and then he can look it up and back to him with any questions.
And then that's when you follow up with the executive summary, is when you're done, you know, with that kind of call. Okay? So, what we want to do is we want to add $35 million per year, which is going to represent $1 million per household. We're going to try to get 35 new households, which is roughly 3 net new households per month. And our target is $1 million. That's our focus as a team right now. Okay. All right. So if there's any other questions, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, I think this would conclude our session for the week.
Rob is good.
I'm good.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start working where the growth is going to come from in the business now. Okay. That's what we want to begin to start to monitor. And we'll start in the section on leadership. We'll talk more about the game board when we get to that section. Okay? All righty. Enjoyed it. You all have a great week.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.